mind turns to thoughts of stewardship. It's kind of before the first robins come, you know. Actually, the pastor's thinking about stewardship all year around. But he generally trots out Malachi 3:10. But today I would like to call your attention to chapter 16 of Luke, verses 10, 11, and 12. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Bless us, our Father, as we look into this very important spiritual truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One of the Akka martyred missionaries said it, a man is no fool to give up what he cannot keep in exchange for something that he cannot lose. And the impact of this entire passage of Scripture is that Jesus wants us to see our lives in that long perspective. And he wants us to be as wise in seeking to invest our energies and our wills as Wall Street brokers would like to think they are as they invest millions of dollars for the future. The time to invest our lives for Jesus Christ, of course, is today. This is a simple story, this passage 16, 1 through 12, and yet it's a difficult passage as well. A thoroughly unjust accountant, as one translation puts it, has come to see that his day of reckoning is at hand. He's been found out. The auditors are coming. And so he proceeds to weigh his alternatives. Verses 3 and 4. What shall I do? My Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig. Evidently, he'd gotten fat and soft. And he says, to beg I am ashamed. He weighs his alternatives, and then he very shrewdly lays out a plan for survival. This is one of the sort of mysterious passages, for on the surface it looks as though Jesus is saying, isn't this man great? Look how scheming he is, and look how shrewd and wicked he is. But Jesus is not approving either of his thievery or of the dishonest practices that made his thievery seem necessary. But he's urging those that were listening to him there, and he's urging you and me today, to realize the necessity for foresight in spiritual matters. What he's saying, in summary, is that we are all stewards. In this life, all that we have received has been given to us in trust. And stewards are always called to account. I can't explain this. I don't know that I want to explain it. In the light of works versus grace, all I know is that Jesus talked a great deal about accountability. He said he was going away. He also said he was going to come back, and he was going to have a very sharp pencil when he came back, and he was going to call us to give an account for the blessings that have been ours. I often think, when I begin to think about stewardship, of Paul Hetrick's dramatic story. And Paul is a dramatic preacher, doesn't just talk like I do, about that African pastor who lay dying, and he had so much respect for him. Everyone in the mission area thought this pastor was a godly man, and he was a godly man. But as he lay dying, he kept repeating over and again, it's a hard question. It's a hard question. And he got weaker and weaker, and they finally bent down and said, Mfundisi, what's a hard question? And he said, I see Jesus. He's waiting to welcome me to heaven. And he's asking me, how many people are you bringing with you? And it's a hard question. And if the godly people die with concern for accountability, then how does that strike you and me, who all too often take for granted the tremendous blessings that are ours? I don't think we need to live in constant torment, and yet we need to settle some things. And Jesus uses three contrasts here to highlight the truth of the fact that we are all stewards. Contrasts of least versus much. He that is faithful in the least is faithful also in much. Contrast of unrighteous mammon and true riches. And then in that 12th verse, contrast of being faithful in that which is another man's and faithful in that which is our own. Let's just very, very briefly look at these three contrasts. Jesus speaks about being faithful in that which is least, and hints that if we're faithful in the least, maybe we'll have much to be faithful in. And the least, of course, by Jesus, I believe Jesus means that everything that is going to pass away is least. I'm convinced that there's not much difference between a millionaire and an outback bushman in the eyes of God as far as his possessions are concerned. There's a great deal of difference as far as you and I are concerned. I'd love to have the problems of a millionaire. That'd be fun, wouldn't it? Yeah, I think it would, but I don't know, really. But the point Jesus is making is that both the millionaire and the pauper are accountable to God. And the size of the assignment is not as important as the spirit that we bring to the assignment. Have you ever been tempted to quit something that you felt God had led you to because it seemed so small and so insignificant? I'm tremendously concerned when I hear that spirit. Someone asked a lady if she did anything in her church, and she said no. Oh, she said, I teach a dinky little Sunday school class. She ought to resign if that's the way she feels about a dinky little Sunday school class, because if she has two or three people, they're precious. You know that old story that we trot out, but I believe it's true, about the little boy that walked 2 miles through the winter streets of Chicago to come to Dwight L. Moody's great Sunday school. And they asked him why he came, and he said, well, I guess it's because they understand the fellow over here. And some Sunday school teacher had gotten through to a little boy. And God only knows what's in a little boy or little girl. And I'm concerned that we are faithful where we are. We may be big in other people's eyes, we may not be big. But Jesus said that our character shows in how we are faithful in little things. If we'll lie about little things, we'll lie about big things. And everything we possess here is really the least that Jesus is speaking about, and the much is yet to come. He says, be faithful where you are. Then unrighteous mammon versus true riches. I'm kind of zeroing in, getting close to what stewardship in February is about. Simply, Jesus is saying, if you are unfaithful in managing your money matters, you may never get a chance to see what real riches are. And once again, Jesus is not concerned right now about how much money you have. And frankly, in this sermon, I'm not either. I used to preach tithing as a young pastor because I felt like the church needed help. The church still needs help, believe me. But that's not why I preach tithing. I preach tithing, I preach faithfulness in money matters because I believe it's a spiritual concern. Jesus said, if you're unfaithful in the unrighteous mammon, he wasn't condemning the fact that you have it. He just said, be faithful with it. Filthy lucre. The love of filthy lucre is the root of all evil. Filthy lucre isn't. And so he says, if you can't manage your money like a Christian, you never really will get a chance to see real wealth. And you say, Pastor, what would you call faithfulness in money matters? Well, I'm certainly glad you asked me that this morning. Faithfulness in money matters to me means a right ordering of priorities. To me, priorities come like this: people, relationships, then property. And need to see money as something that we use, not people as things that we use. We use money, and we use it as God would have us to use it. Number two, I see faithfulness in money matters as consulting with God on my cash flow. Jesus is Lord of the universe. He's Lord of the planets. He's Lord of salvation. He's also Lord of my cash flow. Hope he's the Lord of yours too. And faithfulness in money matters to me means storehouse tithing. I don't make any apology for preaching storehouse tithing. You say, why? I'm glad you asked that too. Storehouse tithing makes me a partner to God. I may be a junior partner, but I'm in pretty important business. I'm a partner to Almighty God because I'm a storehouse tither. And it gives me strong faith in times of need. I'm a depression baby. And I guess I'm privileged, like some of you never have been. I was privileged during the depression to see my dad and mother put into practice, literally praying in the necessities of life, not the luxury. And it really works. God does honor those that put him first. It's indelibly stamped upon my heart and my mind that tithing brings powerful spiritual forces to bear in my personal money matters. Frankly, I cannot afford not to tithe. And the harder money gets, the more important it is to be faithful with God. I know when you start preaching this way, you begin to sound like one of those TV preachers that take these principles and then commercialize on them. I think that's abominable. And if anyone preaches tithing from a standpoint of trying to get rich personally, I won't call God's curse upon him, but he's playing with dynamite. But I want to tell you this morning, spiritual living isn't really true faith until it gets down into our pocketbooks. And it makes a difference if we are faithful in the unrighteous mammon. Finally, Jesus spoke about, let me just say before I leave that too, that if you're not a storehouse tither, I'd like to challenge you this morning to a trial run on it. Not because you're going to get rich, but because you believe it's God's will. Try it for 3 months, a quarter of a year. And if you do it spiritually, you'll never go back to the other way. God will bless you. Read Malachi 3:10 and take it literally. Finally, though, Jesus said, if you haven't been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? And here I see something of a hint of God's extravagant love that's going to shine through. Jesus isn't really saying, he's just implying here that everything we have in this time of probation, this brief span of life we call time, everything is really ours in trust, but there's coming a time, if we're faithful, that we will have that which will not be taken away. We love to say, my car, or my house, or my bank book, or we even love to say my children, in a possessive way. But Jesus reminds us again and again that we are just stewards. They tell me that when the tomb of Charlemagne was sacked, Charlemagne had been so concerned that he not lose his rank and powers of station that he had himself buried sitting up on a throne with his hand gripping a scepter and the crown on his head. They tell me that when his tomb was sacked, the scepter had fallen in the dust, the crown had fallen off his head. And it's certainly symbolic of the fact that no matter how tightly we hold onto the things of this world, we can't hold them tightly enough to take them into eternity. But while we don't possess what we work with, we do work with God. And He sees and rewards faithfulness. He said, even a cup of cold water that's given in My name won't go unseen and unrewarded. And Jesus is clearly teaching here that the least will be replaced by the much, that the mammon, the 36-cent dollar, will be replaced by true riches, and that the temporary possessions that we seem to think are ours one day are going to be replaced by glory. This mortal shall put on immortality. 1 Corinthians 3:9 says, we are laborers together with God. It's an exciting concept to me to realize that we're called to be partners with the Almighty, both in eternity and right here in the here and now. And I challenge us this morning to let this concept filter down into every facet of our living. I pray that God will help us to invest our lives where they'll count the most. I challenge you to make your life an investment of trust in God. Our Father, we pray that You'll help us to be faithful where we are, faithful with what You have seen fit to trust with us. And we pray that You'll help us to be faithful with Your life that we share with You. Now may the grace and mercy, peace and love of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest and abide with you both now and evermore. Amen.